Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And, besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with delirious joy because Diane Brierley is here.
Yay!
Wait, that's the wrong intro. Because I've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning...
marriage.
Indeed.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
I am, of course, the one, the only Mark Unger.
Come on, big fella, let's see what you got.
I'm not that fat!
Did I give you that one?
I'm not that fat!
I don't even remember that one.
That's terrible.
Come on, big fella, let's see what you got.
Joining me as always, the lovely and charming Diane Brierley.
You are one freaky chick.
Indeed she is. Yeah, of course, the amazing Ross Allen Skorzewski.
Don't even think about it, cowboy.
Yeah, man.
Is that Toy Story?
Say that again.
I don't know. Don't even think about it, cowboy.
Don't even think about it, cowboy.
No, at first I thought that it was Tom Hanks.
No, that almost sounded, would have been Buzz.
Who knows? Engineering the show as always, the very talented but eerily creepy part-time serial killer, Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during this incomprehensibly boring program. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@maukgangau.com. Maukgangau. This is the show where you get to mail in any question you have about anything. I should say the word right in case people don't. It's Mark Unger, GUNGOR.com. You can send us a question about anything and remain totally anonymous, but we are brutally honest in the way we respond to it. So that's how the show works. If you're very sensitive and have lots of emotional boo-boos, don't email us. But, you know, we've done pretty good lately. We haven't had a whole lot of people we've gone crazy psycho on.
No, not really.
Which is kind of good. Maybe we've weeded out the really crazy people. Maybe they've gotten a clue. Gee, don't email him.
I'm not going to send it to him.
But we're still getting great questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. And yeah, it's good stuff.
There's
a few crazy people.
A few crazies, okay, well, we'll see. Just keep kind of shuffling them until we'll end up with one whole crazy day, and then I'll set you off.
All right. But mm-hmm. we've been on a pretty good streak. Anyway. What do you got today?
Okay, yesterday you went off on Pastor Mark Driscoll. So today I brought Pastor Ed Young and his wife to the table for you because okay. I think it was this
He's
past
from Texas,
weekend.
Right? Grapevine,
Texas. I think it was this past weekend that they did their sex experiment that they filmed 24 hours and actually they streamed it on
their
website. Yes, it's their sex experiment. The couple.
Every time I have sex,
yes,
it's a sex experiment.
I'm sure it is. Sexual extravaganza is the word that I've heard your wife use.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
They spent 24 hours in bed on the roof of their church for everyone else to see, and they actually had it streamed via a webcam.
Uh-huh.
And I went to the site and was on it, but it was just this real small picture you couldn't see. And I mean, they weren't actually having sex or whatever. They did this to try to draw attention, one, because they have a new marriage and sex book out, as do the Driscolls.
Man, wouldn't your body hurt laying in bed all day?
Well, yeah, I suppose.
At my age,
you
man.
Constantly shifting.
They must have gotten up and about and doing things. I don't know.
I ache just sitting in this chair too long.
Yes, I know.
He's a lot younger, though, so, okay.
But it was, you know, to draw attention to their book and to encourage married couples to have more sex. They're the ones that offered the sex challenge a while ago, having sex for 7 days in a row. And they had the bed on the stage in the church and all of that, so... A couple of different listeners sent this in and wanted to know what you thought. In fact, one of them thought that it was something that you would do, that he could see you doing that.
My wife would beat the loving life out of me.
Yeah, you laid in bed all day long?
No, if
no,
you tried
if
to get
her
to
her
do
on,
a sex experiment on TV in
TV
front
on
of people in public.
Church. for 24 hours.
Guess I wasn't listening.
What did she say when we were talking about it this morning? She said, "You can take a picture of me with you."
Seriously? I mean, this is crazy.
So he's putting himself in a position to where under video, uh-huh. on top of a church.
Mm-hmm. They're just, it's a under promotional covers. Thing.
It's a promotional thing, yeah.
You know, couples, you should have more sex, you mm-hmm. should enjoy life, and so as a promotional thing. Well, they weren't really having sex, I don't think.
No. They were just in bed
for 24 hours. It's a great promotional stunt.
It's not a sex experiment,
it's a stunt. Yeah, it's not really a sex experiment because they weren't really having sex on the roof or in front of a camera.
Who knows what he was doing?
Could you imagine if that's what they actually did? Oh my gosh.
So they're actually doing the wild thing?
Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
Oh my gosh. That'd be worse than Phil Driscoll's anal sex.
Well, you know, at least, I don't have a problem with this.
No.
You know, I think it's great. Yeah. You know,
I
think he's creative. He's smart. He's got people reading about him. Nobody's reading about me today.
This is true.
You know, I don't have a problem with it. At least he's not saying have butt love with your wife like Driscoll.
No.
Good Lord. And honestly, Ed, Pastor Ed,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure he listens to the show every day.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Young, you know, he's really fascinated by what I think all the time. Pastor Ed, if you do butt love, please don't tell us. Please don't advocate it.
Keep that to your own private thoughts.
Create all kinds of problems for people, like Brother Driscoll just did. Gross. No, I don't have a problem with this.
Okay.
I think it's kind of funny.
Getting the publicity for themselves.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm. I just can't imagine my wife doing it. How do you get wives to do it? And how do you think of Driscoll's wife? How did your husband tell everybody, at least leave him with a strong impression, that you have anal sex?
Mm.
You want the world to know this?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I would have to say this would be a really difficult Sunday if I were, you know, in the pulpit every Sunday. This book gets launched, and then you have to step in the pulpit the following Sunday.
Could you imagine
No. I mean, the whole Driscoll thing.
Oh, Driscoll.
The sea of humanity and the eyes looking at you. A bunch of different expressions he had to see.
People going, there's my pastor. Oh, there's my pastor who does butt love.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's his problem.
But he doesn't care, apparently.
Look, if he wants that butt love habit, just keep your mouth shut, dude. Mm-hmm. Don't be advocating that to Christians. Mm-hmm. They'll get more screwed up than they already are.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I don't want to rant on that again.
No, we won't find out.
If you missed yesterday's show, play it back yesterday.
It has an X rating to it, by the way.
Yeah, it has the strong disclaimer attached to it.
Rated V for vomit.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, can I ask you another question? And you can decline to answer this and open up this can of worms if you want to pass on it. I asked you, I don't think that you watched it, the Celebrity Wife Swap when Ted Haggard and
his wife.
No,
I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it?
No, how'd it go?
You know, I saw that they were going to do it, and I thought, what on earth are they thinking? I was quite stunned that they would do this. And then I watched it simply to see, well, maybe there were some redeeming qualities to it, or there was a reason why they had done this. I watched the whole entire hour and still can't figure out. Now I'm even more puzzled. Why on earth did they choose to do this?
Was it bad?
It did not make them look good. It was just really squirrely. Yeah, it was quite squirrely. And the thing that was the saddest was that their children, all three of their children were in that episode with them. And I didn't realize that they had a special needs child, but then, you know, their other two older ones, girls in college, I think, and the son is, I think, high school age. But it really got into how upset and what this has done to the lives of their children. And it all sort of ripped the scab off of all of that. And I thought that it was pretty brutal. So I don't know why. I'm not sure. You know, and they even said, I've read some interviews. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, there was some money, but I think the explanations that I read of other articles of them defending this was that they just wanted to be able to move on. They wanted to, you know, show that they could move on. They put it behind. But the funny thing is that the whole thing revolved around what they have been through. And she kept saying, but I want you to explain to you my story. I want you to hear what I've been through. So it wasn't like they were moving on. It was like they wanted to relive all of it. It was very odd. I wish that you could watch it just because I'd love to hear what you think of it. It was very strange.
Is it the kind of thing, can you download it off of iTunes?
I don't know if they have it on there or not. Or maybe if they have it on the website sometimes.
I'll check.
Celebrity Wives, you can see. But it
I
was,
don't watch that nonsense. It pollutes my brain. I feel that it really interrupts my spiritual trajectory in life.
And Busey, you know, he says he's a Christian, but yet he had this Indian shaman there doing dances and all of this stuff. He's not married to his, they call that the wife, and they say they're married, but they're really not. But in their hearts, they're married. So there was, you know, that kind of a thing. It was very strange to me. I just cannot figure out why they did it for the life of me.
I said, holy cow.
Why were you looking at?
I was looking at an email.
Anyway, well, you have to save that for the break now. All right. No sharing emails.
Oh, okay.
And so anyway. All right,
well, the one thing that, you know, Ted Haggard and Mark Driscoll have in common is they both like butt love. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
He's a pastor, best-selling author, and popular marriage speaker. He's Mark Gunger, bringing you hard-hitting and honest marriage advice. It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this 4-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with national abstinence speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, Dating, and Relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, Dating, and Relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today. Do you want to discover the heart of your child and who God created them to be? Laugh Your Way America is excited to introduce the Kids Flag Page. This fun and interactive game will help you discover the unique way God wired your child. Find the key things that motivate them and learn what they love most about life. This colorful and engaging activity set will help your child see who they are at their very best and will teach you how to bring out the best in your child. Each Kids Flag Page game comes with everything you need to complete 3 Kids Flag Pages. Designed for children ages 4 to 11, the Kids Flag Page is a fun way for moms and dads to interact with their kids and truly discover the heart of each child. To order your game, go to www.laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Fuddled words confuse me, like will it rain today? Waste the hours with talking. These twisted games we're playing. We're strange allies with warring hearts.
Who's this?
Dave Matthews.
My favorite band in the world.
There must be something about the name Matthews. That's all I can say.
You listen to the Mark Gunger Show. Talking about love,
Dave,
marriage,
like
relationships, and ticking people off generally.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
This email says, my wife and I have been having some problems lately, so we've both decided to go and see someone, must have been a counselor, and the counselor gave us your DVD, and I love it.
Thank you.
There was one part, though, that shocked me.
Oh.
Only one part?
At least it wasn't butt love, I know that. What was it?
It was a part of masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been told that it's healthy and better than having sex before getting married, so I used this as a way to abstain from sex until I got married.
Mm-hmm.
When you talked about it, it completely made sense to me, but I feel like the damage has already been done. I now have problems in bed with my wife and can't seem
okay,
to climax.
Okay, all the Driscoll fans out there, you hearing this? So these people do. They get into these behaviors, masturbating, whatever else. Like they get programmed to this that they become unhappy with their wives' vaginas. This is why I talk against this stuff. I don't care if you yank on your wiener. Why do I care? The reason is it's destructive.
It's going to mess up your
sex
life.
You know how many people I talk to, guys, that they don't want to have sex with their wives? Mm-hmm. They would rather masturbate.
That's because your hand doesn't talk back to you.
Well, yeah, not only does it not talk back to you, that's a great line. That's a great line. I like that.
Well, he says, I think I've gotten used to doing it myself.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah, he can't climax a normal way.
That's my point. Yes. Now, that I hear over and over. Mm-hmm. You don't hear about that, do you?
No.
Who talks about this stuff? Nobody. The truth of the matter is these guys get used to masturbating and they cannot climax with their wives. You hearing me, boys? You hear me, all you teenage guys out there? You hear me, all you young dudes? This is what you want? You want to have sex with your wife's vagina and nothing happens because you've so programmed your penis to your hand?
Or the butt.
Or the butt.
Or the mouth.
Or the mouth. Honestly, you people. Then you get guys like Driscoll coming, oh, yeah, it's a great experiment. You know, I have anal sex. Yeah, that's just what we need.
For the variety of it.
Variety of my rear end.
Well, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, he wants his rear end. Good Lord.
Unintended.
Floss our ever-loving minds in this country with sex. As if sex is boring. It's a drag. The vagina's a drag, so we got to do other stuff. Need a little variety. The vagina doesn't cut it for me anymore. Good Lord. When my wife's vagina ceased to make me fascinated, someone take me out back and shoot me!
We're going to stop talking about that, and we're going to put that in this little conversational box and put that up on the shelf, and we're not going to go there no more.
Okay, I'll make sure that he doesn't tell
me.
I just took that from a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And he's only 23 years old.
You hear this, guys? Huh?
Awesome.
You hear this, mom? All you moms, oh, yeah, shouldn't I tell my boys to masturbate? Yeah, okay. Oh, you parents, you want your kids to wait till they're almost 30 to get married, get college and careers and everything first? You hearing this, huh? You guys hearing? Hey. This is what you want? So when your son gets married, he can't orgasm in his wife because the vagina didn't do anything for him? Because the boys had to masturbate waiting for marriage? See what a great plan this is? How come no one ever talks about this? Just ticks me off. And you got stupid Christians who go around advocating this nonsense. Oh, it's okay. My boy's got to masturbate. Yep. Everybody's just here finishing the hair and hitting him. It's okay to masturbate and stick it in here and do that and twirl it around here. And at the end of the day, the reason I get so ticked about this stuff, I don't hate anybody, but there's also ticked about this, especially Christians advocating this stuff. It screws people up.
I wonder if the problems they were having that led them to the counselor had anything to do with all of this in the first place.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just curious.
Okay. I mean, I didn't ask him, but...
Picture yourself, my dear. You're married to a boy you fall in love with. Mm-hmm. You have sex. Nothing happens.
Yeah, that would be problematic for
Nothing me. Happens. Every time you make love to him.
Nothing. And he has to go and whack off himself. That would cause problems for a day.
I'm telling you, this happens
a gazillion
times a day.
I know it does.
In my conference, I have guys come all drop dead gorgeous girls that you think, holy moly, will you look at her? And she's standing there with her nice, good-looking husband. And she says to me, he won't have sex with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at him and say, what's the problem? Well, I'd just rather do it myself.
These are guys, they cannot get off having sex.
They prefer their hand or whatever means they use.
And then like Driscoll saying, oh, yeah, I'll keep doing this as long as I'm helping couples.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, does that sound like you're helping people? Does it sound like you're helping them? You're creating guys who are so pressed to tune to pressure from a hand or a mouth or a rectum. They can't perform in their wife's vagina. Well, isn't that lovely? Isn't that great? Okay, go with that. So if you guys want, that's what you want. You want to be able to enjoy your wife's vagina. Okay. So fall in love with your hand. What do I care? I'm having great sex. I'm going to yank it on myself. Good God.
So he says that since he watched your DVD, he stopped doing this from this day on, but it's still apparently...
It'll come back.
...is an issue.
It'll come back. Be patient. Be patient and then call up your previous pastors and any youth pastors or anybody else who told you it was okay to masturbate and
tell them to stick it.
Go over there and slap them. It'll come back. Just give it time. You'll heal. But the beautiful thing about the body is it tends to heal. Certainly don't go listen to Mark Driscoll or anybody else who's advocating it's okay. You know, oral sex and man sex and butt sex. Yeah.
Just give all of that up.
Just
and
stop
wait
all that
for
stuff.
A couple weeks or a
You
month.
Guys out there, if your wife's vagina doesn't do it for you, doesn't that tell you something?
Sad.
Mr. Driscoll, is this really your message for the church? You need toys and anal sex and stuff to spice stuff up? Really, this is your message?
It's sad to me.
This is your version of helping couples? Don't buy his book. Don't go to his seminars. It's just that simple.
Okay, the next email says, long story short, my husband has had multiple affairs and I stayed. The chunk of them were revealed 2 years ago, but another one began a year and a half later, and that one was revealed 6 months ago. Again, I know what you're thinking. I stayed. After hearing what you and my counselor have to say on this subject, I have a question about the discipline of the church. If you bring it to your pastors and the adulterer says he will stop, and if repentance looks evident, do you proceed with all the scriptures that lead toward forgiveness, or do you still leave anyway?
That's always a tough call. You know, I couldn't do it, man. If I
Book
found,
of Grief, you said the other day you found out 60 years later you'd leave.
I couldn't do it. Yeah, I couldn't do it.
But and this is people, multiple affairs.
Multiple affairs. I couldn't do it. But yeah, and as far as the church is concerned, if someone shows repentance, yeah, you accept them.
And if you want to stay, but she has the biblical out.
But I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Repentance does not, that's not what she needs, though, in order for her to move on with forgiveness. She still needs to.
She's got
to
forgive me either way.
Either way. Right. So, I mean,
that's a misnomer. A lot of people think, well, you don't have to forgive them if they don't repent. Nonsense.
Right. Yes, you have to forgive them anyway.
I know one lady who said, oh, we don't have to, if they don't say they're sorry, you don't have to forgive them. You're crazy.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Because if there's no remorse on his part, well, she
well,
still
she's
has
saying
to forgive.
That it appears.
Mark Driscoll's got to forgive me for going off on him for 2 days in
yeah,
a row.
There you are. But the thing was, he admitted to four affairs, and then a year and a half later, it started again, and then she found that out 6 months ago. So I think it's hard because she did try to forgive him and he was showing signs of repentance and he did it again.
Well, we talked about this once. Remember, I mean, forgiveness still changes the relationship. It changes the dynamic. It doesn't mean that she has to be a doormat to his continued stupidity and inability
look,
to be
look,
truthful.
I don't know. If you're willing to forgive and stay with someone, I think that's admirable.
Yes.
I'm just telling you, I couldn't do it.
And five affairs later, I don't think I could do
it. I don't think I could do it.
I think I could do it with one, but if it was you or four, you told me one time, and then later I found out you got into it again, I couldn't do it. I don't think I could.
I don't know what to tell you. If you can still forgive him and move on, God bless you. I think it's great. And yeah, but as far as the church discipline is concerned, discipline is toward those who will not repent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If he repents, of course you forgive them. By the way, I just did a Bible study this morning, a series of Bible studies for our church. And you know how the at the beginning of all the epistles and stuff like that, they'll say something. You know, Paul, so, you know, grace and mercy and peace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And they go on, okay? And we're reading Jude, where he says mercy, peace, and love in abundance. And then he goes on. And a lot of times we skip over those words. Now, the reason they would always refer to those words and often end with those words, this is the core of the Christian experience. They're describing what it is we celebrate. This is what worship is all about. It's about focusing on this peace, this love, this grace.
The mercy.
That comes. I mean, this is really what they said. The rest of the epistles, a lot of them, quite frankly, were disciplinary. You know, the reason they wrote these letters because they're trying to straighten out goofiness.
Mm-hmm. Mercy,
some of it was teaching. Okay, but some of it, you know.
It's just unscrambling with the
like
stupid.
Jude's furious. He's writing, just screaming about all this extreme grace. You know, he said, these guys who turn the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ into a license for immorality. Mm-hmm. Sounds like half the preachers I know today, you know. So, but anyway, the word mercy. I love the word mercy. Do you know why? Because it implies a standard.
Uh-huh.
Mercy says, you're guilty, but
spared.
We're spared.
Right.
See, that's what we don't want the guilty part.
Right.
You know, it's like if you get pulled over driving 100 miles an hour, you're guilty. What you're hoping for is mercy.
Mm-hmm.
What you're hoping for is the cop will let you off. Okay? The cop doesn't come up and say, oh, it's okay if you drive 100 miles an hour.
Right.
He might say, did you know what you were doing? Yeah. What, were you in a hurry? Yeah, well, I was on the way to the hospital. You know, there might be all kinds of things that he would exercise mercy and let you off.
Mm-hmm.
But even in mercy, it doesn't mean there was no standard.
Right.
We don't have enough mercy today in the church. What we have is a lot of grace. It's artificial grace, not based in mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they say, there is no standard.
Right.
I mean, there is, but it doesn't really matter. Right. You know, you can screw your boyfriend, doesn't really matter. You know, you can commit adultery, doesn't really matter. You can lie, cheat, and steal, you know, it doesn't really matter. We believe in grace. You can masturbate your little brains out, you know, and look at porn. Well, it doesn't really matter. We don't feel, man, I've talked about porn in churches and had pastors get up as soon as I was done
and undo
what I just said.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know some of you might be feeling bad, but just we believe in grace around here. And I'm thinking, you moron, you don't even know what you're talking about. Grace
is implying that grace.
That's not,
lets you off the hook and you can do it anyway because of the grace. It's That's what they're implying when they do that.
Now, what they need to say is mercy. We believe in God's mercy. Right? Yeah. Mercy says, yes, you were wrong, but there's forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Thank God for his mercy. But mercy doesn't change the rule.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy, you're guilty. We let you off. Mm-hmm. That's mercy.
Yes. Grace is different. It was Lakeeta Garth at the women's brunch that she differentiated between the two. She said, grace is when you're given what you don't deserve. Mercy is when you're saved from getting what you do deserve.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I thought it was great when she said that because it is two different things.
Yeah, but we don't talk enough about mercy.
Right.
That's really what we should be focusing on. The idea of grace is great, but this idea of grace that you can do anything, it doesn't really matter. You know, you got extremists now who say, you know, grace of God is so powerful, you don't even have to ask for forgiveness of your sins.
Mm.
It's like, oh, seriously?
Then what do those verses in the Bible mean?
They say it doesn't matter, and those verses apply to somebody else. They go through all kinds of intellectual, you know, this Joseph Prince, he's the latest one doing this nonsense. Again, somebody else's books don't buy.
Joseph Prince.
Yeah, he's a guy from Singapore. Looks like he's 12 years old.
I don't know if I know that one.
They look very young.
He does. Really young. Yes, he does.
But and I'm sure he's a nice guy. Certainly full of grace. But
he's full of a lot of other things.
Yeah,
apparently,
full of crap because you know just as grace. You know, it doesn't really matter. And God forgives you. There's so much grace. It's so powerful. You don't even have to repent of your sins. You don't even have to ask God to forgive your sins.
And where does he say that the Bible says that?
It doesn't. They take bits and pieces. That's the other thing. People don't read the Bible in context anymore. They jump around.
Mm.
When you guys listen to a lot of, you know, and I don't want to get crazy because I know some churches that, you know, they're very into expositional teaching and anything that's not expositional, verse by verse is heresy. I think you can still do topical teaching and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But so much of Christianity today is literally topical teaching. They jump around. When you're listening to just a sermon, and look over in John 20, and look it over here in Ephesians, and then when you get, if that's all you get, you're in a dangerous place because these are the people that you're easy to fool. Because you can get any series of verses to come up with any kind of thing. And if you don't know the Bible,
they can take it all out of context.
If you haven't read it, man, I could read the verse where it says, you know, Judas went out and hanged himself and then follow up and say, Jesus said, go do thou and likewise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we take this out of context.
Yep.
That's why people get off. You know, don't. Topical teaching's fine. Studying about faith, studying about this. And this. But seriously, guys, we need to get back to just reading the Bible in context. But jumping all over the place, understand what it really says. Anyway, thank God for his grace. But what we need is his mercy.
The Butt Kicking Woman's Conference is back with a newly released DVD set from the second year of the conference with all new hard-hitting speakers, Lakeeta Garth, Diane Brierley, comedian Carrie Pomeroy, and of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Mark Gunger himself.
Morality is based on the condition of your heart, not based on the status of your vagina. I don't care if you've had sex with 150,000 men. Stop it! Stop it! What are you doing?
You get over 7 hours of content that will change your life and make you a stronger butt-kicking woman. Order your DVD today at laughyourway.com or call 1-866-525-2844. That's laughyourway.com.
If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men's brains are very unique. Men's brains are made up of little boxes. And we have a box for everything. We've got a box for the car. We've got a box for the money. We've got a box for the job. We've got a box for you. We've got a box for the kids. We've got a box for your mother somewhere in the basement. We got.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Woke up in London yesterday. Found myself in the city near Piccadilly. Don't really know how I got here. I got some pictures on my phone. New names and numbers that I don't know. I test the places like I've been. Rotate turns to night. Night turns to whatever we want. We're young enough to say, oh, this has gotta be the good life. This has gotta be the good life.
It's gotta be the Mark Gunger Show. Talking about love, marriage, relationships, dating, and other things that some disgusting. Anyway, okay, what you got next?
Okay, this one says, hello, I have a marriage dilemma. I listen to your show and have given myself countless swirlies, but this is an ongoing issue that I cannot seem...
You know, we haven't given anybody a swirly in a long time.
No, not for a while.
We're doing pretty good. Like I said, we're doing pretty good. Okay.
She says, an ongoing issue I can't seem to wrap my head around. My husband contends that he married me to get closer to God. I tell him that he is over-spiritualizing it, and if he made that statement prior to our marriage 3 years ago,
you know,
I would not have married him. Who?
Bill Driscoll.
Mark Driscoll!
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
He needs a swirly! Snap out of it, man! Good heavens! They were just swirled him. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so they've been married for 3 years. She says if she'd known he was only marrying her to get closer to God, she wouldn't have married him. He thinks it's awful that I say he is over-spiritualizing something because God should be first, of which I agree, but I don't agree with marrying someone to get closer to God.
How does he figure marrying you gets closer to God?
I asked her that, and there wasn't really that good of an explanation
for it,
you know, about what he means. But that's kind of not really her issue. Her issue is this. Okay,
can I answer that issue real quick, though?
Sure, you can.
If it's not germane, just to get it out of the way.
Go ahead.
The Bible teaches exactly the opposite. You want to get really close to God, don't get married.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because when you marry, Paul said, you'll have to spend more time that you could be spending with God. You got to spend with your wife. And you have to please each other. And that's what you're supposed to do. And this time you can't spend time directly pleasing God. Mm-hmm. Now you can say, well, you're pleasing God by doing this. But Paul said, look, literally, I mean, just do the math. Who do you think has more time to read the Bible, pray, and seek after God? Yeah. A single person or a married person?
Oh, a single person.
I guarantee a single person does.
Yes.
So anybody who says, I married you to get closer to God, doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm sure he means well, but he's biblically illiterate, mm-hmm. ignorant. All right, go on.
Okay, I know you can't change people, but how he views us as a couple is grounded in that belief. For instance, which this doesn't make sense to me, that if he wants to get closer to God, why is he not acting like a good husband to her? But anyway, for instance, he feels we don't need a date night, but that when the fridges broke down and we did go shopping together for a new fridge, that was date night to him. Oh, Lord, I think the washer's on its way out, she says. Woohoo! But if I want to go out and hang out with my female friends or have activities outside the home, it would be okay with him. I'm not clingy, but this stuff is unnerving to me. He works long hours at a not-for-profit agency, and when he comes home, I'm usually in bed asleep. But it wouldn't matter because he's tired.
What kind of non-profit agency you stay up until your wife's in bed?
I don't know.
Well, what the heck is that?
I don't know. She works full-time outside the home as well. If I need swirlies, have at me, as I want to do the right thing regarding my situation. I have tried to talk to him about this, but to no avail. He will, to his credit, say that he would, what would you like to do when I ask him that we need a date night? He'll say, well, what do you want to do? But listen, Mark, shh, she says, she must have thinking you were going to be interrupting.
Hey, I've been pretty good.
But he will go to various events at some planned and some unplanned. But why, when it comes to me, he feels like I'm a burden to do something with and that it's not a pleasant experience for him. She says, if you swirly me, I will give you the stink eye, Mark. Well, let me tell you what you think, and I will put on my swimming cap so my hair won't get too messy.
Oh, my gosh.
So they've only been married for 3 years.
Yeah, but she's asked me questions I can't answer. I don't know. Ask him. You're the one married to him. What was her last question?
Well, it's about trying to get him to take her out on date night.
There was a question.
Why it comes? He goes to various events and plans some unplanned. But why is it? Is a burden to him when it comes to taking her out, and that it's not a pleasant experience.
Don't ask me. Ask him.
ask him, why is it a burden to take me out? If he says, oh, it's not a burden, as well, yeah, it feels like it. And then you guys were to work it through. Listen, this is stuff normal. I know you feel weirded out. Don't worry, I'm not going to swirl you. But, I mean, this is the stuff that people deal with. This is couple stuff. Everybody deals with this. You know, how much attention you get, how much you don't. You know, how much time you spend with me. Might be the guy complaining you never spend any time with me, never talk to me. Might be the woman complaining about it. I mean, that's sweetheart, don't feel like you're some weirdo. This is normal.
That's
caca.
Normal stuff.
That's normal stuff. You need to have the conversation with him. And you need to work it out with him. And if it means adjusting a little more of this, a little less of that, if he's, well, if we did this, I could. Okay, then great. That's marriage. Don't ask me why he doesn't want to spend time with you. I don't know why. Ask him. And really, you don't even need to ask him. You need to tell him.
Spend more time with me.
I need more time from you. Oh. And if he gets spiritual on you, which likes, he sounds like he's going to pull that card.
She did say that recently, I mean, between the first email and emailing back later, she did say that he had been spending a little bit more time with her and was taking her out on dates, but was still contending that he married her to get closer to God.
Well, I don't care. I don't know what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
She did say, I've decided to get closer to God myself and not focus so much on his opinion, which is good. That's very good.
He doesn't know what he's talking about when he makes a statement like that. I married you to get closer to Jesus. God. You want to get closer to Jesus, obey Ephesians 5. Love your wife like Christ loved the church. You ignore me all the time. Do you think Jesus ignores the church?
And gave himself up for her.
Yeah.
There's getting real godlike.
Yeah.
Selflessness.
Mm-hmm.
You think Jesus?
Well, and so what he's saying could be construed as correct. I married you to get closer to God, to be more Christ-like, because I'm going to sacrifice myself and
like
do this for you.
Though.
But that doesn't sound like what he's doing. Yeah. I mean, in theory, maybe that's what he's saying, but in practice, that's not what he's pulling off.
Yeah, but here's the thing. She's frustrated with the way he's treating her and the attention that she's getting from him. Mm-hmm. I cannot fix this. She has to fix this. Yeah. This is what you fix, dear. This is what. How long have they been married?
3 years.
Okay, you're a rookie. You don't know what you're doing yet.
Well, I don't want to throw her under the bus, but I did ask if it was a first marriage, and she said it is his first marriage, but it's her fourth.
Oh, so that's what she's got.
They're in their late 40s, early 50s. So I think and she admitted she's been thinking of things wrong, and you know, had some issues and some stuff in the
measuring up. This is what he did.
Okay, wait a minute.
It changes everything.
90% of what she just said to me is crap now.
Yes, absolutely.
She's probably just used to whining and belly.
I was trying to not throw her under the bus, but
well, I just threw her under the bus. We need a bus noise, bus sound effect.
The wheels on the bus go round and round.
Yeah. as they run over.
Yes.
You, dear, need to knock it off.
She admits she had some awful ideas about marriage and how it should be.
Horse manure. She still thinks it's all about him. Here I'm ready to get on his case. Anyone who's been married 4 times has issues not being happy. Do you think?
Yes, I would.
This is about you. And my advice just changed. Big time. And here is my advice for you.
What's the matter? You gotta know respect.
Hey!
What do you think you do?
Huh!
Why you look so sad?
Come on!
It's not so bad.
Huh!
It's a nicer place.
Oh, shut up your face! Good Lord!
I give her credit for at least being able to see that she's had awful ideas and she's sucking the life out of herself in her marriage.
She's sucking the life out of him.
Yeah, and him. She says, my marriage and him. Because there are some people that could be on number 4, 5, or 6 and still be blaming him. At least I want to give her credit for that because at least she sees it and wants to get a clue.
All right, but I'm telling, dear, you have a track record of not being happy.
Yeah.
So now everything you said, I look with great suspicion. Total suspicion.
Yeah.
You need to shut up your face. What's the matter, you? Hey, got the no respect. Who? Come on.
But she said she's focusing on herself. No, she's focusing on
herself
and getting closer to God and not worrying about him. And
exactly.
She's doing the right thing.
Your
she's
answer
doing the
is
right
not
thing.
Him. Your answer is not to fix him.
Yes.
If I had an answer for him, which I don't, I wouldn't give it to you.
No. She's looking at herself and knowing what this... She's.
I'm just saying, if I had an answer, if I had an answer right now to say, you can get your husband to do exactly what you want to do if you just do ABC, if I had an answer like this, I wouldn't give it to you.
Nope.
You need to learn to be happy. You need to learn to be delirious happy. Deliriously happy. Even if your husband is an incomparable jackass and never talks to you and never goes anywhere with you, you need to learn to be happy, 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 happy. You learn to be happy first, then we'll worry about everything else.
Well, then if he only takes you out when the refrigerator breaks, you don't feel so sad. You just have a happy life.
Just have a life. Just get happy.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry,
goodness,
be happy.
Goodness gracious. Worried about everything. I need him to be this way, and I need to be that way. And he said he wanted to get closer to God, but he's a big jackass, and I can't stand it. And why can't I be happy? Because I want this and that and the other. Ah! Just stop. When you've gone down the... I'm not trying... I don't hate you. I'm sure you're a gorgeous, wonderful woman. You listen to this show, so obviously you gotta be pretty nice. But stop!
Here's a little song I wrote.
I wrote it for you.
I want to sing it note for note.
Don't worry. Be happy. Just be happy. Enjoy your life.
In every life we have some trouble.
Yeah.
But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry.
Double? Her case is four times.
Aww.
Oh, it is. Well, she's got to own it four times.
She is owning it.
Four times?
Some of us are slow learners. Careful there, man, at the end of the table.
I get it. I know it. You're not far behind her.
Careful, man, at the end of the table. Some of us are stupid for a long time before we get a clue.
Okay, at least she knows it's good to say that because we don't hate people who've been through multiple marriages.
Right.
Some people at this table have been through many marriages. I won't mention any names, but their initials are Diane Fraley.
37
Careful
to be exact.
Careful. 37, is that what she said? You know, you guys make those dumbass jokes and then people in the chat room ask me, really, how many times have you been married?
Think about it, folks. She'd had to been married at five then.
Yeah. They were all terribly short marriages.
Oh, like the Kardashians.
But I'll tell you what, Mrs. Briley will agree.
Yes.
She, number one lesson, I got to learn to be happy.
Yes,
I gotta
that's
be
right.
Learning.
That's right. And I'm deliriously happy despite the circumstances.
But, you know, life is not easy for you.
No, it is not. Life is not, easy for me.
It's harder than for you probably you ever thought you'd ever get.
It is. You're exactly right.
It is. And we don't have to go into personal details. A lot of physical problems.
My husband has an illness, and it is much harder than I ever bargained for in my lifetime.
Yeah. And she's not over here depressed a lot. I'm sure she has her days. We'd all have her days, but she learned. When you've been down the aisle 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times, you need to stop.
And I tell you, if I had not looked in the mirror, speaking of this, and realized this is me, I would not even still be in this one if I was the person I used to be. I'd have been still trying to find the next guy and the next guy and the next one to make me happy. I promise you, if I hadn't gotten a clue, I'd be on 8 or 9 or 10 by now. I promise you.
Don't worry. Be happy.
You just got to make a determination. You know, I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to be great. I've been married four times. This guy, you know, you might be thinking, well, I should have hung on to number two by now. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Number two is better than,
You get those thoughts going through your head.
Yes,
you know,
I'm
man,
sure she does.
I was better off with number, okay, but you need to stop. Be happy. Your answer is not a man. Your answer is not a man.
That's the greatest lesson you can learn, ladies.
Yes,
your answer is never a man.
A man.
I lived years of my life thinking that, but the man will make me happy. He's the answer, and I need to find the one who's the answer. And when I learned the answer is not a man, my life dramatically changed.
Yeah, so that's our advice to you, sweetheart. Just get happy. The only time you go on a date is when something breaks. Go break something.
Darn, not the television went out.
Light something on fire, man. Just don't worry, be happy. Just relax. Your answer is not a man. Any of you women, listen to this show. You think you need a man to be happy?
Call me. Call me and I'll tell you.
Don't worry, be happy. Everybody!
Don't worry. Don't do it. Be happy. Put a smile on your face.
Put a smile on your face.
Don't bring everybody down like this.
You're bringing everybody down. Just relax.
Don't worry.
You don't need a man.
It will soon pass, whatever it is.
Whatever it is, man.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Be happy. No worries, man. We're so happy we're going to take a break. When we come back, I think we'll still be happy. We'll be back with more right after this.
Listening to The Mark Gunger Show can drastically reduce your chances of becoming a repeat offender of marital and relational dilemmas in your home. Listen to The Mark Gunger Show Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Standard Time at www.markgungershow.com. Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com.
Hey, it's me, your piggy bank. Remember when you were a little kid? All the dimes and quarters in my back. Yeah, that was good times. Good times. Now, lately, I gotta be honest, you've been ignoring me. Money's been slipping through your hands like a greased pig. Get it? Because I'm a... Anyway, I know how it is. Now that you get a real paycheck, it's nice to have stuff. You'll start saving money next year. Well, I hate to tell you, but good saving habits start now. Put just $20 in the bank a month. Make your own coffee at home instead of that latte every morning. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Those changes alone could save you thousands of dollars a year. Come on, I'm your piggy bank. We can be together again, me and you, the special times. Anyway, if you don't want me to cry anymore, feed me. Go to feedthepig.org for more ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Never opened up to anyone. So hard to hold back when I'm holding you in my arms. But we don't need to rush this. Let's just take it slow. Just a kiss on your lips in the moonlight. Just a touch of the fire burning so bright.
You're listening to the Ross Allen Skolczewski Show.
Oh, it'd be a different one if it was me at the helm. I tell you that right now, lad. Just a tad bit different.
What would it be like?
I have no idea. Probably a little bit more censored, controlled,
cerebral,
loving,
and
compassionate,
not goofy,
and helpful.
Helpful, helpful.
More loving, kind, considerate, censored,
and compassionate.
And compassionate.
It would need to be like an 8-hour show, though.
He'd be doing a lot more hand holding.
So, no, I wouldn't. I don't hold hands. You've well, never
do
I, had.
Do we traumatize you because we're so mean?
No.
Oh.
No, you don't traumatize me. I end up sooner or later, you know, using it at some point in time and connecting with couples and helping them through their dysfunction. So it has its place in my life. I just use it when
So we're a wee bit useful to you, is what
bit.
You're saying.
A wee bit.
I think we should have the Ross Allen Show.
No.
See what happens.
Welcome to the Ross Allen Show. It's all about love.
No,
it's about love.
I'll hold your hand.
Well, sometimes love is a boot right to the crackers of the back side of you.
Yeah. It's a 2x4 to the head.
That too.
We all need those sometimes. Okay, the next email they actually sent
what
in.
What would be your theme song?
He's not ready to move on.
I'm not, I don't know. You've got to give me time. You can't just put me on the spot like this.
The Addams Family. I'm a perfectionist.
You haven't thought about killing me in my sleep and taking over or anything?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
fantasizes about how to make it happen.
Do you remember when you said
he rehearsed the song already or something?
Do you remember when you thought you had this dream? You thought it might die? Just let go of that one.
We could do the Diane Briley show. I know her theme song.
Welcome to the Diane Briley Show. The show that's all about love. She's the loveologist.
Yeah, right.
She's the hot mama. Gonna answer all your emails. Mm-hmm. Help you straighten out your head. Send your emails to the loveologist at Diane.com.
Me mind on fire. Ha! Me soul on fire.
Cause she's hot, hot, hot.
Woo! Maybe I'll steal this.
Cause Ross is hot.
Yes.
Ross is hot, hot, hot.
Woo! Everybody dance!
I'll just steal your thunder.
Okay, there you are.
So we're playing this by faith. We're in Green Bay. It's not very hot here.
Yeah, well, actually,
in Green Bay,
you know, we have been rather warm this winter
so far.
Nice.
It really has been nice.
Just a couple days ago, we were 35 degrees.
Cold. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Cool.
It's a beautiful thing.
Not even like the 12 for a high. I'm not fond of that. Well, speaking of the loveologist,
hey, I am heading somewhere warm.
What? Ladies and gentlemen. Cram Rugnug is on the road again.
That's Mark Gunger backwards. Cram Rugnug. That's right.
Get your motor running.
We're going to get our motor running. We're going to fire up the plane and fly down to El Paso, Texas. Tejas.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's going to be this weekend at, where are we? I don't know where we're at.
Life Church.
Life Church.
That is correct.
In El Paso,
Texas.
Yeah, you won't find it on our website because we don't put my preaching events on the website.
Oh, it's just a preaching event.
I'm going to be preaching this Sunday at Life Church in El Paso,
but there is a seminar.
Tejas.
And then the seminar is later down the road.
Yeah, February 3rd and 4th.
February 3rd. We will be there doing the full seminar then. But anyway, if you want to come on, check me out. Do that. You got an address on that place or anything?
We do. We actually, the address is...
Find it. Hurry, fast.
Oh, that's right. That's the wrong one. Here we go. I've got all these. All right. 1580 Joe Battle, El Paso, Texas, 79936. If you'd like, give them a call at 915-856-5924.
That's the website.
Church. Their website is not on this piece of paper.
.com. Not on this piece of paper.
Not on this piece of paper. .com.
You can see it in the email address, the last part of it.
The Life Church.
Life.org.
LifeElPaso.org.
LifeElPaso.org.
Check it out. Show you the address and everything else. And come see me on Sunday. You love it. I love me. I'm my biggest fan. I think I'm fabulous.
Little Hammond to be free organ.
One of the greatest sounds that contribute to the rock and roll sound.
That distorted guitar, yeah.
All right, enough rock and roll.
You know what would be really great?
Wait, I gotta hear the drum roll first. Gotta love it. Anyway, so that's where we're gonna be this weekend. Come check us out. Be a lot of fun. Down in El Paso.
It would be really great if everybody loved you as much as you love you.
I know, it'd be great, wouldn't it? It'd be a great world.
The world would be a happier place.
It would be so great.
It would be. Oh.
Okay.
They'd all be coming up to me saying, you're not that fat.
You're not that fat.
Not that fat. Anyway, okay.
This email, actually, she sent it in as a stupid argument, but I didn't really think it was a stupid argument, so I'm not going to do it as a stupid argument.
Oh, so you bumped it up from stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, because...
Is it more serious?
She says it's a silly... Yeah, it's more serious than just a stupid argument, I thought. So I pulled it out of that pile. Anyway, I have a small side job. Oh, I guess it's him writing it in, maybe. I have a small side job as a photographer. And for the past few years, my wife has been the bookkeeper for me, which I appreciate.
Okay.
As the bookkeeper, she set up a nice Microsoft Access database for me to enter my expenses and income. But I kept putting it off, and she just did it all. Then at the end of last year, she quit being the bookkeeper because she was tired of the lack of appreciation and was tired of the disagreements we had regarding my unorganized receipts and paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
And she hoped that this would influence me to step up and take responsibility for my bookkeeping. I haven't entered any receipts into the system since she quit. at the end of last year. They are still in a basket next to the computer. My plan is to sit down at the end of the year and plow through it in one shot.
Lots of luck with that, okay.
She is upset that I have not kept it up through the year, thinking that I'm probably missing a lot of receipts by now and that I'm not going to remember all my mileage because I didn't write it down.
That's fair.
To her credit, she didn't bring up the subject since she quit until last month. So she had quit last year and then finally brought all this up and just let him be until the last month. She is one of those that wants to capture as many expenses as possible and doesn't want the government to get any more of our money than they are entitled to receive.
Amen to that.
I would agree with that. Also, I was audited by the state government for sales tax issues a couple of years ago and had to pay a penalty, so that makes her even more uneasy with my bookkeeping approach.
Which is fair.
You think?
Okay.
We don't want to hire someone else to do the books, and she would do my books again if it didn't cause us to have these silly fights over my lack of receipts and lack of written down mileage. But that's not something that I can easily change. Does this fall into the category of happy wife equals happy life, and should I just man up and do what she wants, or does she need to relax her control instinct?
No, you need to man up, dude. Everything you just described.
A year's worth of receipts?
Everything. I don't know. I think that does belong in the stupid marriage argument.
Well, it's a stupid husband argument if you ask me.
Yeah, I get it. Dude, everything you described says you're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty.
And pretty much everything you described could be the man sitting at the end of the table, but he doesn't do that. He actually goes through his receipts and does what he needs to do.
Yeah.
But you could very easily fall into that category. This one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Of just never doing receipts and never doing.
You just not refer to him as a man at the end of the table?
That man at the end of the table. Yeah, no, you can't leave that stuff for a whole year. I would be furious and freaking out at you.
No, I'm actually pretty good at hanging on to my receipts.
It's just handing them in.
I just hand them in. Well, I'll hand them in one wad, and then they strike, you know, but I hang on to them.
You know where it started
with
me?
Dude, you own this. You got to own it. I mean, everything you described, it makes it sound like a control freak.
No,
this is you.
It's not her control at all. No, I mean, you've been audited. You have all of these issues.
If she was a control freak, she would have strangled you to death already.
I was really good with receipts, getting them and just like putting them in the car, like in that little wheel, you know, like the little thing between the seats there. It's like, okay, come on, I need them in my hands. Well, then it progressed to my pockets.
So you got them from the console of the car
into
your
my pocket. But then where do you think it ended up?
In the wash.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And guess whose fault that is?
Yours.
Because she didn't check the pockets.
No, back to the pockets.
Because she didn't check the pockets.
Back to the laundry pocket debate.
Whose issue is it really in the first place? Who gets more upset that there's stuff in my pocket? She did. So it's her issue.
Oh, yeah. And you didn't give her the receipts. I think you're delusional and on crack across the table from me, Ross.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, sir. You need to take...
Dude, man up. Man up. If your wife does the books, shut up and do what she says. Just as simple. Or if you guys really... Because some people just can't work together.
Right. Some people can't.
A lot of married people cannot work together. My wife and I fight the most when we really work close together.
I couldn't do it.
You know, it's just so... If I were you, in all honesty, I'd hire a bookkeeper.
Yeah, I would too.
That's what I'd do.
I really
would. But in the meanwhile... Be nice to the wife. Okay, guys, see ya.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.